Hey friends, Brinky here with another episode of Adventures in Design. On today's episode, one of my all-time favorite guests, Skinner, returns to tell us all about his brand new Kickstarter, where he was able over the pandemic to create a 64-page, I'm going to say it's not exactly a graphic novel, but it feels way more than a comic book. It's 64 pages of horror, 64 pages of stories and illustration from the mind of Skinner. And as you know, I always enjoy when he and I get together and have these conversations. It's called Skinscrawl Magazine, and it has already been funded by over 200%. And what I love about that is, if you know Skinner, he's going to take those extra funds and just keep creating more and more projects. Why I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. He talks a lot about the inspirations and learning curve that he took upon himself to really sit down and create his own comic that is really influenced by the old Creep Show EC magazine comics. Like, it's got that sort of a vibe to it. So just to call it a comic, it's got different chapters, different stories inside of it, but it's all uniquely Skinner. So one part of this conversation is learning how to make your own comic and how to draw from your child influences and manifest it and make it into your own. But a second part of this project that might apply to more of you that aren't comic freaks, nerds, collectors, whatever the term is how do you make yourself the client? I haven't had a client since 2014. Skinner's on the same path as well. So we really explore, how do you get all the bullshit of money and opportunity and, you know, different projects with different quote unquote opportunities once you give your time to the man? How do you get all of that bullshit out of the way and start creating for the best client you'll ever have? Yourself. The most demanding client you'll ever have, but definitely the most rewarding client. If you're a member of the Circle of Trust, I would encourage you to go through the archives, just search the term Skinner and listen to all of our past conversations. We have really had some amazing, amazing conversations over here on AID, and he stands to be one of my all-time top 10 favorite guests that I ever have on, just because I love how he just gets into this zone of free association, going through what the creative process feels like, also how that is interwoven with his own personal emotions and evolutions as an artist and as a person. Like, this is a guy who's always trying to find himself, always trying to find himself doing a better project that better represents himself. He might shy away from some of the terms that I would use to describe him, but I think he is one of the most inspirational creatives that you could ever follow, just because he is literally always fighting to try to figure out the best flow of what's going to make him happy, his audience happy, but most importantly, what's going to allow him to make the best work. And I would say this last project definitely illustrates what his best work looks like, and hopefully it shows us a little glimmer of what's to come from Skinner. Enjoy today's conversation. It's AID 1409. And if you do enjoy it, do us a favor. Share it over on the social media so others can find it as well. Skinner, welcome back to Adventures in Design. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. It's an honor to be invited inside of the Haunted Castle. I know that it's hard to get our way in here. Hopefully we find our way back out.
Yeah, don't die on your way out. But, you know, if you do, just leave your wallets, I guess. I see that you have the Disneyland behind you, and I'm glad that I have this opportunity to apologize to you in person for being bratty about Disneyland online.
Yeah, because it's okay.
You know what was happening to me, and I won't spend too much time on this, but I do want to apologize, because I think that, like, what happens is we get really, it was kind of a stressful time, and I think that was like you're probably like lamenting so much about what you love about this thing. And I was feeling like, I want the old world to die, you know? and I was, and so it's like, you get this like person who's like, I'm sad about this thing, and like, it means a lot to me or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, dude, just like, it's going to be better though, because we're going to be wearing like mud and grass skirts, and we're going to be hunting for there's going to be no Disneyland. It's just going to be drugs and hunting the wasteland. So just get into it, man. And I'm sorry.
No, what happened between us?
I apologize about that.
What happened between us is what should happen more often, right? Like, I'm in a mood, and you're in a conflicting mood, and our moods clashed online. And I know that you're nice of enough a guy, and I feel like we had a close enough relationship. I could be like, dude, I think you're being a little bit harsh to me, and then you're just like.
Yeah, you know what, man? The tone doesn't come through like that good in on the internet at all.
No, there's no tone. There's no actually the only tone that you hear is the one in your head. So however you perceive it is the tone that you hear. But no, I mean, I wish that more often people could sort of be like, hey man, what's going on? And just be like, ah, fuck it. Never mind. Sorry. And it just like, I didn't think anything of it, but it reminded me when I was waiting for you to show up. Remember the first time that we did an interview, there was another Skinner apology where you're like, man, like I checked into a show and you were talking about like, you know, invoices and shit. And I'm like, I don't want to do this.
You know what, man? It's so interesting because I feel like, I don't know. It's kind of good. It's like, I get challenged a lot, but like, I'm really into it. But I would say that, like, I think that so much of being like a person in like any, like say any community, right?
Yeah.
Like, so say as an artist, since that's, you know, what we're talking about is like, I listen to, you know, your podcast early on, and I was like, I am not a part of this world at all or whatever. And I felt like, I think that ultimately your insecurities come out, you know? And like, I think that like now as a person, and I did okay then. I think that I was just like a little bit afraid. And I think that like, I was in a kind of a insecure place in my career in a way where I was like, these guys know everybody on like, basically I'm not living in balance because I'm not responsible, you know? And I'm like, I don't know how to feel. I fucking invoice, like whatever. Like I'll fucking get somebody else to do that. And like, I'll just do a bunch of barbarian art today. So it's like, I think that, you know, at that time I was like, I'm glad that I was able to say like, you know, this feels like I'm not part of this and and I don't like it, you know? Right. And, but now I think that like, if you were to be like, hey, come be on Adventures in Design for the first time, I'd be like, all right, cool. I don't know. Like, I don't know shit about this. And I'll just be like, I don't know anything about this, but I won't feel insecure or weird because I'm actually like really comfortable with how irresponsible I am, you know? So it's like,
it's part of your brand. You're like
it's part of my brand. Dude, I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know. Because I am actually ultra responsible, you know, in a way like I'm probably like, it's like my brand is like, I'm just like, you know, whatever, like falling down the stairs of life or something. But really like, I'm kind of an insane workaholic. I'm like doing a million things all the time, and it requires being extremely present.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I don't know.
I was going to say it's part of your brand where it's like you can come off as this guy who you know is fast and loose with his opinions and is kind of like, you know, doesn't give a fuck. But man, I've been to your studio. I've seen the amount of work that you've put out, and I know that you're. I would look at you this way, Skinner. I would say that you have tunnel vision. You see the goal, the project in front of you, and nothing else matters. Nothing else even fucking comes close to mattering. You don't give a fuck because all you want to do is build that thing. Maybe it's a music video for one of your friends. Maybe it's a art gallery that you're doing, or maybe it's the, you know, Skin Crawl magazine, which you just finished, which we're talking about today, which I have to say, man, thank you so much for letting me get a preview of the magazine and looking through all the pages. Dude, this is an insane amount of work. Nobody that could be called a slacker could ever get this fucking thing done.
Well, that's really sweet to say, because again, like, I do feel it's weird because comics have, it's like, there's nice people in comics, but it's also a highly, highly potent nerd kind of realm where I feel like there's not like, I wouldn't say like elitism, but there's like some pretty strong like opinions and tastes and feelings in comics. And I'm like, I hope that like, you know, think that, or people can see that like I really love this and care about this, and this is actually where I'm going, kind of, you know.
Well, I think the first thing, you know, as an artist, the first thing that resonated with me was just like how much work it is. It's 64 pages. You didn't hold back. Like, it's Skinner the whole way through. But what I was able to notice as an illustrator and someone who's, you know, done a book before, you figured out a rhythm on some spreads. You went 100% Skinner or 200% Skinner, but then other pieces of other characters, like, you just were forced to do a more abbreviated and looser part. And I really enjoyed seeing you find a rhythm on, like, it's 64 pages. Every cell can't be insane. How do I tell the story with like a fluid balance of like detail, but lend myself over storytelling? And I thought that was interesting to see somebody like you, who I've always known as just like pouring as much into it as possible, of figuring out a way to tell the story in a little bit looser frame in some of the different cells.
Well, I will say that the sheer amount of work that it takes, and that there are like some pretty banal moments where it's just like a picture of a frightened mom's face or something, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I can't put any veins on this face, or I can't, like, it's like, it's really taught me a lot, I'd say, about graphically expanding to be like, okay, so not everything can be 1,000% psychotic insanity all the time. Like, there's a spectrum which kind of validates the rest of the piece. You're like, all right, well, I'll draw like this lady talking to her daughter about, you know, the crazy woman in town or whatever. And then, you know, the next page is like a splash page that's, you know, supposed to destroy your mind. So it's like, it's kind of like, I don't know, helpful, I guess.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, let's look at an AC/DC song, right? Like, it's got the riffs, right? And the riffs get you to that chorus that kicks you in your teeth. And if it was just kicking you in your teeth the whole time, it would just be too much. So I definitely found that you had found a way to like ebb and flow. So the chaos scenes really feel chaotic, but then the other scenes feel as if they're telling a story. So it's not like, it's not one tone the whole way through, which I really appreciated. And then the other thing is, like, you keep pivoting the color palette. Like, when if you can see it in a PDF and you can flip through it, it's funny how several pages will all be like magenta, and then it'll slide over to blue for like 8 pages, and then it'll go into like layers of green for 3 or 4. Like, if you just looked at it quickly, it almost looks like a color, like swatches are going by.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that I was thinking, like, you know, how do you kind of differentiate the stories besides the fact that they're totally different? It's like, there's a story about that's sort of like in space with aliens. And then there's a story about, that's in the mountains of, you know, Austria. And then there's a story in modern day. And then there's a story in like the '50s. And then there's like, a medieval tale. So it's like, you want to kind of push them away and kind of be like, this is the vibe of this. Here's the vibe of this. And, I don't know. It was, I showed it to Sam Keith, you know, that artist, Sam Keith. And I felt like he was like, he's like, wait, did you do this? Did you try to make this on purpose? Like, these colors like this? Because I think he was like, dude, they're like psychedelic as hell. And he's like, it's kind of, and what he surmised is actually true, which is, it is supposed to be like an absolute love letter to EC Comics, Creepshow, and underground comics, because those are all intertwined. Skull, Fanagore, Bernie Wrightson, and, you know, Richard Corbin, and just all these, just, you know, amazing freaks, William Stout, Mark Schultz, all this stuff. And so it's sort of the mix of that. And I think that, like, I just saw the pandemic as an opportunity to, I don't know, just do something kind of ultra indulgent where I was like, you know, I don't have anything to do right now. You know, I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? You know? And, I got, this guy, Pete Von Schaly, who is an incredible artist. Like, just, I mean, he's like 60 something years old. He's been in Hollywood. He does all the storyboard stuff for Hollywood movie. He's kind of this like unknown legend guy. Mm-hmm. And he helped me do all the breakdowns. Like, he kind of was my mentor through, doing some comics. You know, he was like, hey, what's up, man? Like, we became friends because he's helped me do storyboard breakdowns on films I'm going to try to make when the pandemic's over and stuff. And he goes, hey, man, you want to do some comics? And I was like, dude, I don't know how to do this. It's so hard. Sequential art is very difficult. Absolutely. And he's like, oh, it's fine. I'll show you. And so I basically, you know, paid him to help me do the breakdowns and are like, you know, real loose sketches. And then I was like, okay. And I was learning how to do storytelling through images. And then the funny thing is, you don't realize that there's a very distinct relationship between a drawing and what you're writing, because you're like, if you do a drawing of, you know, a monster ripping the face off of, like, you know, a victim or something, you don't write and then the monster ripped the face off the victim. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you're like, oh, you don't describe what's happening in the picture. Like, you, and so you realize that there's like a whole creative difference of things. And like, you want to have like the writing be kind of parallel to the imagery, but then to actually have it be this kind of connected little symphony of word and image. And, Pete really showed me a lot of that. And like, and he just finished doing all the storyboards for the new Chucky TV show and stuff. And he was friends with Stan Lee. He knew, Uncle Forey from Famous Monster. He's like one of these legendary dudes. And so I don't know, it's kind of cool because, my connections to, people kind of blossomed through this.
Yeah, of course.
Through this thing, you know? So yeah. I don't know. It's kind of cool, man. Like, well, it's kind of crazy because you don't have, you have like nothing to do and you're like, fuck, man, what's going on with the world? I don't know. I guess I just got to like try to draw this claw good.
It helps. The world's melting and you're sitting over there like, I think this looks like Raleigh. I think he's in his spot here.
Yeah.
And now a word from the greatest horror comic of all time, Skin Crawl, issue number one.
All right, Skinner, so here's the deal. You have this Kickstarter out. People have about 3 weeks to get on board. We got to get people over here because I have a feeling that if the money keeps piling in, that the Skin Man is going to deliver with several other projects. How much are you banking on this to green light some other things from Skin Industries?
Well, it's definitely giving me hope that I'm going to be able to fund Shrine of Abomination, the stop motion horror film that I've been working on for 3 years. And that's going really good. I trained underneath Phil Tippett even to try to understand how to do stop motion better. And Skin Crawl 2 is halfway done. So I'm going to be like, I'm going in on this Kickstarter stuff, man.
I think it's a really great platform for somebody like you that is such an original voice and original creator that, you know, it gives people a way to get authentic you. Is everything printed up, or if we order, what's the delay time on actually getting things in our hands?
Well, I finished the comic before I started the Kickstarter because I didn't want to be like one of those nightmare Kickstarters or whatever.
Good call. Good
so
call.
So I'm have you ever heard of those?
Oh yeah. So oh I'm yeah.
Gonna, yeah. Every other one is like a nightmare. So what I did was I'm sending away, I'm having them printed up. I'm gonna print over because I wanna be able to give some to comic stores. Mm. But it's everything is going out in September. So if you order it this month, you get the comic, the shirts, the print, everything that comes with it and all the extras and add-ons are going to all be shipped out in September. And I'm basically coming up every other week with new free stuff to throw in with every single order, because it's been such an insane success that I haven't even been able to do stretch goals yet.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'm like, well, I basically just need to start coming up with stuff to throw in, like print, like silkscreen prints, pins, you know, patches, buttons. Like I'm even gonna maybe record a song and put it in like a flexi disc for people or something. So I'm like, what can I do? Because I'm like, you can't, like, I can't just be like, all right, cool, now I'm gonna just roll around my money on my bed naked or something. I'm like, let me like figure out how to make this an absolutely memorable, amazing experience for people, because I'm still kind of in shock. So I just, you know, I want to show appreciation, and I'm just beyond grateful.
Is this all a strategy that it goes out to us in September so that we'll buy a second one to give to one of our favorite Halloween friends in October? Is that how we figured out this marketing plan?
Yes. No, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that it kind of worked out perfect for it to come in Halloween.
100%.
So I'm like, wow, this, you know, it couldn't have worked out better for me. So yeah, I mean, you know, if you want to get extra, that's cool. Whatever, you know, if you know any like ugly little kids that want to read this stuff, you know, hook them up.
is there a version of the black and white? Is there a way to get the black and white version in PDF so people could actually like do Skinner coloring pages in their Procreate on their iPad?
Wow, that
stretch
is
goal
a new idea. That is an incredible idea. Wow. Okay. Yes. Geez. All right. Yeah. That's, I'm gonna do that now. Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it. You know, you have all this beautiful black and white pen and ink that you did. But one of the things I really love about your artwork is the high contrast, psychedelic, you know, colors that you use. And I was just sitting here debating, like, I wonder what he had more fun doing, inking it or coloring it. And then it dawned on me, I'm like, if I could get a black and white version to put in Procreate, I would for sure watch Sopranos and do some Skinner coloring pages.
Dude, all right. You sold me on that. I kind of can't believe I didn't really think about that. I guess the most obvious stuff you don't really think about, but yeah, good idea. I'm gonna steal your idea.
No, it is. We're collaborating. There's no thievery here.
yeah. But like, yeah, I think I'm gonna come out with like big stickers. It already comes with like free stickers and a PDF and stuff. But I'm like, all right, what can I do? I emailed Mao at Monolith Press today, and I'm like, hey, can you do like really weird glow in the dark printing and like all this stuff? So I'm just gonna keep piling on.
Yeah, you got to. People. You got to.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's over at Kickstarter. All you have to do is just search for Skinner or look up for Skin Crawl. From $1 to $120, there's a pledge for everybody in between. And it sounds like the Skin Man is going to be working extra hard to give all kinds of different bonuses. So don't forget, you're not only supporting this project, but many more things to come from everybody's favorite, Uncle Skinner.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Run. Don't walk to Kickstarter.com. Search Skincrawl Magazine to kickstart the mayhem.
This was a pandemic project. And
yeah,
like you and me, a thing that we have in common, a lot of listeners, it's like, okay, if the world's going to go away and disappear, then that means I have a lot more time on my hands. And what's that thing that I've been wanting to do that I never had time to do? And you dove into like an insanely detailed project. You know, this is already being called the greatest horror comic book of all time. You know, so it's that's already what people are saying about this. In fact, it's on the cover. So if that's indeed true, will you be able to make a second one of these during regular times, or do we need to cause COVID-22 so that you can do the sequel?
Well, I'm already actually like halfway done with the second one. So,
oh, cool.
I did this long. I went through this insane. I also like really dove into a lot of therapy stuff during this time too. And I am emerging as a like more well person. Thank
Good.
God,
you know, Good for you.
Everybody who has to be around me. And, so I did another, I was like, you know what? I have an idea. I finished these pages and colored them and put them all together, everything like actually months ago. Mm-hmm. But the thing was that I was kind of too depressed and too conflicted about everything that I don't want to be a public person when I'm in a bad mood, because it feels wrong and it feels weird to like be like, hey, buy my comic. I'm right. totally like that. Sad inside. You know, so I was like, let me wait. And then while I waited, I started working and I finished this incredible, I feel like it's really, really my best illustration stuff, but it's a story. It's like an analogy, this creature that's underground in this dungeon. And it's sort of a metaphor, and he's escaping the dungeon and coming out, and there's all this insane stuff, and there's a lot of reflection and weird shit in the dungeon, and it's like a metaphor for depression and nihilism.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'll work on this. And then my friend Cody Goodfellow, who is like this crazy award-winning horror author who almost won the Bram Stoker Award last year. He was like really close, but he's been helping me do an adaptation of a Clark Ashton Smith story, which I'm 3/4 of the way done. I have a bunch of other stories I did. I hired John Wayshack to do breakdowns on a story. I've got a ton of things I've written. You know what happens? And I'm sorry, this is like very broken. This is kind of how I communicate, I guess, but I have always been reaching for a platform in which I could really delve into stuff and express myself, like animation or films or videos or whatever. And even though I've done this stuff, it's always been a really discouraging kind of fight. And there's always these like institutions that are fraught with, hoops that I'm too sensitive and weird to jump through. So I'm like, let me take all my ideas that I have and make this insane comic, because I'm totally love comics more than anything. They saved my life when I was a little kid. And you don't need any money or a budget to create a science fiction epic.
Right.
And I was like, I'm just going to do this. And then what happened was a lot of my ideas and thoughts and feelings that I had put on a back burner, because I was like, well, I don't have anywhere to go with all my creativity and all my love for this stuff. So, you know, let me figure something out. And then as soon as I started making comics, I'm like, dude, this is it. This is the shit. I don't have to like sit around and beg somebody, be like, I know that my brand is I'm irresponsible, but could you please give me $100,000 to make a horror film? You know, so it's or whatever, you know? And so it's just been an absolutely astounding kind of experience for myself. And it feels like I've finally given myself permission to do this. You know, to have my ideas and to really dig them out and see what they're all about and push for more. And, you know, Skimcrawl number one is a lot of like fable type, I don't know, like just collected ideas that I've had over the years and things. But like the thing that I always loved about old EC comics and Creepshow and all this stuff was that there's always the sort of the bad guy, you know,
gets
fucked up at the end or whatever, you know? And I like that. There's like sort of this weird morality, embedded in it. So, yeah.
So if I'm hearing this right, if I break down what you just said.
Yeah.
And if I know a fair amount of the larger projects that you've done, when you're doing a music video, you're tethered to like the band and all these different restraints. And when you've done video projects, you've had different people you had to work with. So is what you're finding so free about this project is, of course, it's something that you love and that you were inspired by and saved you as a child. But are you enjoying that, like, you know, you've got a couple of people that you've hired to do some of the parts that maybe aren't your strong suit, and you're learning from people that you really respect, which is always awesome. But have you finally found like a platform or a medium where you feel like you can create without all the restrictions, time crunches, and too many cooks in the kitchen? Like, I mean, this is very different than doing, you know, animation for a band's video. That's a fast paced, budgetary thing. Like, you could get lost and explore in this project.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I would say that I've been extremely lucky with the creative freedom that I've had in my music videos and films and, you know, stuff like that. But I think that there's just, it's, you know, you and every artist that has been a guest on this show and that listens to the show understands that it really boils down to having the resource exchange,
yes,
right?
So yes.
You're like, yeah, man, I could make you the craziest music video of all time, but if you don't have the money, or then why would I do it? And so, like, I feel like a lot of, you know, projects in the world ultimately are kind of banking on the idea that artists really want to do it,
yes,
you know? And
yes.
I'm like, you know, I there's nothing that feels better to me in this world than being able to have like healthy boundaries with companies and with the world at large by just saying, wait, so you want me to not do something satisfying and awesome and good for myself so that I can get paid like way less to do everything to make you look cool and then nobody even cares if I did it?
Yeah.
Like, is that what you're saying? Because I kind of feel like that's what you're saying. Right.
Is that the deal here?
Yeah. And like, I always point to, you know, my ultimate example is like when I had to say no to Metallica.
Yeah.
About a music video, because their budget was like way, way, way less than what I wanted to did what I well actually what I what was necessary to make an amazing video. And they were like, well, just like see what you can figure out. And I'm like, well, wait, so you're saying you want something like kind of not good? Like, you want me to figure out how to make it not like worth my time where it's kind of not that good? Or
right.
I don't know. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? It's like,
no, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No, just pay, just like you get what you pay for. Like, if you could get somebody who's like a pretty good After Effects person to do a video for you, but it's going to be like, Metallica, biggest band in the world, has sort of, you know, kind of bootleg video. Like, you know, it's like, it's like, all right, man, like that's for you guys to figure out. That's not for me. Cause I would rather actually just, pay a couple of my friends to do something good where they feel respected.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, let's build up, you know? And so I've been on this, like, you know, I'm building, you know, I'm trying to build a very, very autonomous, independent situation. And I've been funding and working on a stop motion horror film for the last 3 years as well.
Wow.
And that's, and I could send you, some, you know, clips of that, but it's an insane fantasy horror project I've been working on with my friend. And it's going crazy. So what I wanted to do was use Skin Crawl as a way of expressing joy for myself during the pandemic and to have something to focus on. And then to use it as an experiment to see how successful a independent, you know, relationship with just people would be.
Yeah.
Through Kickstarter, and it's going really good. I'm feeling super encouraged. So, I think that like we could do Kickstarter to get this stop motion horror film funded. And then you know, we could, because we're almost like, we'll have like almost half the movie finished.
That's awesome.
So I've been pushing. Yeah. You know, I had a few years where the Drawing with Skinner show was a disappointing, weird, discouraging feeling for me, how it ended, what happened, all this stuff. And then I had like a few, I was working on this virtual reality thing with Google that didn't, and things just, I had these insane projects happening and they all imploded.
That's the thing about those insane projects though, because like, I know so many people, it's like, you know, oh, if this thing comes through, the career is different. If this one comes through, the career is different. And so many of those long shots just don't always pay off immediately, but they do get you to where you're supposed to go. And that seems like that's what's happening to you.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like the phoenix rising from the ashes, you know? And I'm like, well, how many times are I going to rise from the fucking ashes, you know? But, so I was like, all right, I need to really assess my shit, man. What is going on? I don't know what's happening. But the cool thing was, during the pandemic, as I began to just kind of focus on myself and focus on what I loved, focus on like these long-term projects, nothing short-term. Like, you know, I did some, you know, illustration work for, you know, video games and whatever, Dungeons and Dragons and shit, whatever, you know, but I was like, let me just cultivate this kind of rich relationship, you know, with the community, you know, if I can fight the algorithm to maintain that. But
yeah, that's
it's
hard.
Like, I do that. And I felt like it was very, it felt risky. I'm like, dude, this is like a full on different trajectory. This is me not trying to like go knocking on the doors of like, you know, whatever, like HBO cartoon people and being like, hey, can I make a cartoon, you know, about Satan or something?
Right.
So it's like, and so I'm like, all right, let me do this. But like the kind of, I don't know, just sort of just it, like just positivity that I felt like was generated as I was like, hey, I'm trying to do this thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I hope you care about it. I hope you like it. And people are like, dude, this is cool. Like, right on, man. And then the more that I got into my own rhythm of like what I really loved, and I allowed myself to indulge in borderline just childish stuff that like, you know, kept me emotionally surviving my youth, I was like, people were resonating with it. I felt like I had one of the most successful positive years I've ever had as an artist.
That's great.
And I'm not saying like money or whatever, but it's like, more like just as far as what I'm doing, like how much happiness I derived out of it, like what felt good about it. Like, well, it wasn't like, I don't know, like this, it wasn't, there was like no cynicism.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Hey friends, I want to tell you all about Garm. Garmcompany.com. That's graphic artist resource merchant, has a Procreate brush bundle that's on sale for everybody, but even cheaper for you by using promo code AID site-wide. What are you going to find in your Procreate brush bundle? It features 4 Procreate brush sets to create the ultimate set of tools for a wide range of styles and design and illustration. This collection will have you covered in all fronts. 61 rugged, gritty, and clean liner brushes, 42 halftone and crosshatch brushes, 32 stippling brushes, and 28 grain pressure shader brushes. The Procreate brush bundle set helps you save time and get to that desired look that you're trying to achieve with your next illustration project for yourself or for your client even faster. No more afternoons wasted on your own dime trying to figure out that next look that you want. It's already been perfected by the professionals over at garmcompany.com. That's garmcompany.com, site-wide coupon code AID. So let's do this. You walk down the hallway at HBO, because that used to be the business model of like, well, maybe if HBO gives me some money, they have the means, they have the network, and I can make something, they have the distribution. So you kind of go there, you pitch your idea, they kind of like, you know, give you some notes, dumb it down a little bit, try to make it a little bit friendlier. You know, does it have to be so satanic? Can it be like Satan light? And then ultimately, you know, what you're hoping for as an artist is that they'll cover the bill and let you do something that's like 60% of your vision. But what's so great about Kickstarter for guys like you and like, you know, Alex, is that you guys can just literally be you, authentically Skinner. And that's the best thing about this project, is that it is so authentically you. Skincrawl is just like you doing an unbelievable amount of work. And because there's not a publisher in there, because HBO or Cartoon Network's not in the middle, like, well, it can't be that demonic. That's why people love it, because it's just so brutally honest and authentic. And, you know, everybody knows that guys like you and Alex, if you do a Kickstarter, you know, Rokum, you guys have legitimate businesses. We all respect you. We know how hard you work. It's like, if I can throw you $50 to get this thing done, I'm all about the pre-order. I'm all about, you know, being a part of making good things happen. So it's just so cool to live in this moment where, you know, someone like you can finally like find yourself in a way where you don't have to be filtered through somebody because they have the checkbook or the audience for distribution. Like this is fucking raw Kokiani right out of Colombia, man. Like nobody's mixed it with anything.
I love that. Yeah. I try not to spend too much time feeling stupid. Like, man, you should have just been doing this, you know, cause we all
arrive I get that.
In our own ways and stuff. But like, does feel some kind of weird ultra authentic place that I'm kind of like coming into for myself, I guess.
I can see it.
I feel like the more you do the thing that you love or that you're kind of afraid to do, the more you will see that things kind of open up.
Yeah.
And I know that that's easy to say for somebody who's been an artist for 10 years, but I don't know how else to put this, but like, it's just been an insane struggle. Like, it's been brutal, crazy, like, you know, Spinal Tap life. Being an artist they should make a documentary about like a Spinal Tap documentary about being an artist, you know? But like, the more that I take care of myself in this way, like have boundaries about the things that I want to do and all what I love, the more I actually come to understand who I am, like what I want to do, what I don't want to do, right, how I don't want to be treated, the people I do get inspired from, it's like you start to, you know, drastically change the landscape of your life. And
yeah,
it's kind of like, I want this for anybody, you know? And even if I do like a couple of issues of Skincrawl, then I'm like, now I want to do this other comic about something, or I want to make a little documentary about somebody, you know, it's like whatever. It's just that like, you have to be really in touch with the thing that you love the most, and you can see it. And I'm hoping people can, like feel it in this thing, you know. It's all, I've only gotten like positive feedback from people whose opinions I respect. So I'm like kind of feeling like relieved, you know. It's like, dude, you really did it. It's not like,
let me just pause you for a second. Like, I know what your influences are going into this just from knowing you, but also the cool little 2.5 minute video that Skinner has over on his Kickstarter campaign. Like, you did the great thing, Skinner, where I can see the influence of what you're paying tribute to, but it's not a parody. You didn't go in there and replicate and make it so like hokey that it looks like all those things. Like, it is cut from that classic comic horror tooth, but it has your thumbprint on every single cell, every story, every page. So it's that thing where you can see where an artist is coming from, but it still feels uniquely them. And that's not an easy thing to do, because sometimes when you're influenced by something, you can go so far down the wormhole of like, what makes it feel more authentic? What makes it feel more like that? That you can kind of break your own narrative in there. But I feel like that this is a complete, like, perfect symmetry of influence and the new artist or the new vision of where you wanted to take the stuff that inspires you.
Oh, that's really sweet to say. Thank you. Because, and then the reason I think is because, I was, I mean, I'm like very earnest about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that I love so much. Like, I don't have any sarcasm about comics at all. Like, it's deeply in my heart. So it's like, when I'm doing this, yeah, you know, when you see like somebody's kind of doing a parody of something, mm-hmm. or whatever, I'm like, no, dude, I'm trying to do it for real.
That's what it feels like, though. It feels, you know, real.
I don't care if I look stupid. If like, it's like the thing you love, like if you do it earnestly, you know, I'm like fucking Napoleon Dynamite over here. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm earnestly trying to make it as cool as possible in a way where it's like, oh yeah, like, oh, this is fun. Like, this reminds me of like what it was or whatever, you know? And like, I don't know. I don't know, man. There's something beautiful about like being as like, you know, like sincere about something as you like as possible. Because I think like with sarcasm, or kind of like when people are doing a parody or whatever, they're a little bit afraid of like looking dumb. So it's like, sure, you're already kind of sabotaging it. You're like, yeah, see, I don't really care. Like, whatever, I'm making fun of all this
stuff. I'm better than this thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not. Yeah. I am like a full nerd in like worshiping at the Citadel.
No, I think the love shows in the craftsmanship of the project. And, you know, even you did the ads in the back, you know, promoting some of your other stuff. And, you know, even that, it feels like you inspired by that. And I feel like a lot of times when people get into doing parody art, they go so down the wormhole of trying to make it feel so authentic that, well, where's the new perspective here? Like, where's the new twist on it? And so this...
I feel that way a lot, like, where... You can tell that so much energy was burnt trying to make something like quote unquote authentic. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's like, dude, it already happened. Like, that already happened, man. Like, just like make something new and cool. Or like, just like, I don't know, like, don't like take that energy and then discover what you would do or whatever. Like, what's your vibe? You know?
So when you put there's different stories in here, different chapters, and forgive me, I haven't had enough time with it to read it, but
it's okay.
Is it sequenced like an album? Like, did you know, like, does each story bleed into the other one, or how hard was it for you to figure out, like, because when you have a bunch of songs and then you have to put mm-hmm. them into an album, there's a lot of like, okay, what's the first song? What do we do for two or three? Because that's like the hit spot. You know, like back when there used to be a side A and a side B, you really had to think about how does the album restart on the second side. So how much thought goes into which stories go in what order?
There was a lot of thought for me, actually, because I knew that there was like a couple of like, my favorite ones, there's a couple of that to me, I'm like, these are really special. Like, I love these stories. And so I'm like, all right, you got to start out with a good one. You got to start out with a banger, right? You know, and then you kind of lead into like a pretty cool one, and then, you know, and then a really good one, and then an okay one, and then like the best one at the end, you know? And then what I did was I was like, well, I have this cool like host, this like gross little claw host. And I was like, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll do a little like two or three page origin story of this guy. And the funny thing is like the origin story is like, you know, in the witch trial days, you know, 300 years ago, whatever. There's this annoying artist in this village and he's drawing all these ugly things and he writes horrible stories. And then the Puritan is like, we got to kill you. He's like, I'm sorry. Somebody just tried to call me. He's like, we got to kill this guy. We got to like, you know, and he's like, it's not me. It's my hand, you know? And so, and then the hand. And so like, basically like a couple hundred years go by and these kids are outside. They're like wearing these breathing apparatuses. Cause it's like all the smoke from the fires.
Yeah.
And they're like, they find this, the Puritan like threw the hand in the water and shit. In a box. And then these kids find, cause there's no water, it's a drought. They find the box and then the hand's in there. And he's just been in there for hundreds of years going insane. He's like this neurotic, you know, bizarre claw that has all these stories and is like totally insane. And so I was like, wow, yeah, I gotta do this. So in between each story is an insane splash page of Rotten Raleigh talking and being like, you know, what'd you think of that story? That was weird. Yeah.
I love the one of him and the cat.
Oh yeah. He loves the cat. Rotten Raleigh loves the cat. And you know what? I never get tired of doing cat stories. So I had to have one in there. And I strongly recommend to anybody who wants to like come up with cool ideas for comics or just like, just go ride your bike, just get stoned, ride your bike or ride your bike and like empty your mind. And the stories will come up, man. They'll come in.
Hey, you know, you and I had that amazing bro down in your home where we were really going deep on our childhoods and stuff like that. And knowing everything that you shared with us about your father, there's a lot of your story in that little synopsis that you just gave us.
Oh, there is? Cool.
I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, that I'm like insane. I got locked away and I'm like nuts.
No, like finding a hand where there's no water and all that stuff and the way that your old man passed away. Like there's like a lot of like you, like an enormous amount of you just in that little tiny synopsis, man.
I guess. I guess you never think about that. We're always like kind of mindlessly creating these, self portraits because we're just narcissists.
But it's like you tell, like,
look at this story, it's about me, I'm the hand. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But you know, we all tell a story from our perspective, right? And that's the only that's the only perspective you'll ever get is your own reality that you live in. So I mean, you know, you could say that it's narcissism, but it's really just like it's just what's familiar to you. It's how you've lived and navigated through this world. So that's the story that you're going to tell. You said something earlier that I think is like a big thought where we find our path later in our career. And for guys like you and I, the path that we found that made us the most happiest was the one that's just completely client-free. I haven't had a client since 2014, been just completely doing what I want to do each and every day, making stuff. And thankfully, you know, people pay for it and I can keep doing it. But where the career gets confusing, Skinner, and I feel like you've landed in this moment, is in the beginning of your career, it's like, we need money and we need opportunities. And you look at everything that comes your way. It's like, well, I can't say no to this band or I can't say no to this gallery. And so you're always taking those things. And there is a part of that that gets you going. But then after a while, and it sounds like you're at this level in your career where you're like, I don't really need the opportunities and I don't really need the money. I have a lot of this that I can just do for myself. And I've arrived at a moment where I can be personally fulfilled without getting those things in the way because, you know, a lot of times when we do take the opportunity and the money, it puts things like Skin Crawl on pause for 3 months or 2 weeks or 4 months. And so there's this sort of this Zen thing that you can find as an artist when you're like, you know, I kind of think I can do it on my own. I don't think that I need those two things that I was so dependent on getting my career started.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that it takes some personal risks because it's being an artist or like say an illustrator for hire or like, you know, kind of like what I do or like kind of people in our sort of community of, you know, I can draw, I can paint, I can do posters, I can do whatever, beer labels, whatever. I think that you develop a sort of mindset where you think that that's kind of like the only way to survive. So you're sort of stuck
in this
way of believing that it's not possible to do anything else. And it's really, it sucks to see. And I'm always constantly like trying to, you know, encourage other artists, be like, you don't need all these fuckers, man. Just do your thing. Like you got to build that up because we live in like a very predatory sort of gaslighty kind of situation for artists because nobody is going to tell an artist that they're worth more than they can get them to take.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, well, without a visual artist, you have nothing, bud. Yeah. You ever try to sell a t-shirt that didn't have nothing on it? You ever try to sell a skateboard with nothing on it, or a video game with no graphics, or an album with no art, or, you know, it's like there's a billboard with nothing on it. It's like, I think that people forget that the artwork is what literally makes anything cool at all.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To hear part two, please become a member of the Circle of Trust over at AID.network, where we have over 30 more minutes of today's episode waiting for you, as well as several other appearances from Skinner, and sometimes joined by his friend Alex Pardee. Part two begins right now at AID.network. If this is where we part ways, have a good day.